honeycomb big. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not small. No, no, no.
Hey, everybody. This is Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, and you are listening to Throwback Reviews with your hosts, Sean and Rob, right here on ThrowbackNetwork.net, part of this complete breakfast.
Honeycomb bite. It tastes right.
Welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about going back to school, that frightful time for each kid, whether it be late summer or early fall. We'll get into that, though. And with me is my good buddy, Rob Flack-O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on, everybody? I am. My kids just went back to school, and that kind of got me thinking about going back to school, too. So it's all... Of course, when we said we were going to do back to school, I was like, oh, the Rodney Dangerfield? We're doing back to school, but we're actually talking about going back to school tonight.
I don't know which is scarier.
Really going back to school. You know, people say they're like, you know, what would you do different? If you went back to school, I wouldn't go. back to school. They're like, you could go back to school. I'd be like, I'm going to the arcade. I'm not going back to school.
And also joining us, it's been a while since we've had him on, from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, Mr. Ferg. Woo-hoo. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on again. I have no children. I do have a wife in school, though. She's a librarian, so she went back to school.
Oh.
She was not happy about it.
Now, we'll get into it now. When did she go back to work for school?
She went, the third week in August.
Okay.
And, just for teachers. And then the following week, the kids went for 4 days and they had a 4 day weekend.
I don't remember. My kids did the same thing. I don't remember doing that when I was a kid.
No, we didn't start till after Labor Day.
Right.
In New Jersey.
Right. And now I think they used to call it fall break and now they call it, iPhone break or something where the kids are like, oh my God, they've been away from electronics for a week.
Yeah.
We better get them back online. Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. Depending on where you are located in the country, Rob, your kids went back mid-August, right?
Yeah, it's like the 20th or the 21st. Now, a couple, I guess last year and the year before, we've missed several days of school due to snow days and ice days, and they had to extend the school year. So they start a little bit earlier for us just, you know, to build those days in, I guess. But you guys would have more of a chance of that happening than us here. I guess you guys just deal with it, though. I mean, if it snows, you're not going to take off 2 months.
Not in Delaware. Maybe Sean knows more about that, but Delaware, it's like if it's fog, there's a delay, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it's got to really be coming down or really, really cold. Like, we had a lot of really cold days this past school year that the kids would be off because they don't want them standing out waiting for the bus
right.
and stuff
yeah,
like
we
that.
Had that a couple times, too.
But it's got to be a Northeast thing, Ferg, because same with me. We wouldn't go back to school until the Wednesday after Labor Day. My kids went back Tuesday after Labor Day, but it was always, I believe it was the Wednesday. So it was just a short kind of go in, get the jitters out, get to know, you know, your classes right. or your teacher if it's elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And then that following Monday is when you kind of jumped into it.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right, actually, because I remember towards the end, we did go back on Tuesday, but I'm pretty sure we started Wednesday in the beginning.
My
first time in the 70s.
My birthday is August 22nd, and I remember when I was a little kid, we used to start like the last day or two of August, and the whole time I went to school, it kept creeping back. Like, I remember one year it was August 27th, and then it was August 25th, and I was like, oh my God, if I have to go to school, if the first day of school is my birthday, it's going to be ruined. It's going to be terrible. And my senior year, we started on August 23rd, like the day after my birthday. So I made it. I never went to school on my birthday. But that was the latest we ever started, was the 23rd.
Wow.
Now, as far as preparation for getting ready for school, I mean, it always seemed like it creeped up and then it was like, bam, it was right there. But there was always that day you'd go with your mom, probably, or at least for me, and you'd do that back to school shopping. But my experience with it was probably like a month or so before, because that's back when layaway was big. And they kind of, you know, did away with that, and then they brought it back. I think Walmart has had it for a few more years or a few past few years, but that was a huge thing, you know. And it was always, we'd go to JCPenney's. Do you have those down by you?
Yep, we went to JCPenney's, and I remember going to Sears. That was our big thing. We went to Sears and did the layaway, and my mom would not, like, she would every year. We started school with 5 new pairs of pants and 5 new shirts. So we would go to Sears, and I remember, this is embarrassing, but I remember one year we went, and there was like, cause my mom was a firm believer and you had to try on every pair of pants. Like if you bought 5 that were the same size, you had to try on all 5, not just one.
Yep.
And so I would go, and I went one year and she was like, I think this is what size you wear. And I couldn't get them on. I was like, oh, trying to button them, you know? And then I come out, I'm like, I can't button them. And she goes, okay. And there was another area and the label said Husky.
Husky. Oh.
And I was like, Husky. Oh no.
Nightmare inducing.
Yeah. And so I had to go get the, and they were, I to this day, my favorite kind of jeans, well, my favorite kind of jeans are stonewashed and acid washed jeans, but unfortunately those went out about 87, 88, so I can't wear those anymore. But I like, for jeans, the lighter, the better for me. You know what I mean? Like I like them really light blue, like that kind of denim, you know? And my mom would buy these jeans that were so dark blue. They're almost black, you know, like
Jordache. Did all the, remember Jordache jeans was like the,
they have those for dudes?
That was like, no, but the, like those are the ones that the girls would wear, and they were like skin tight and everything. But they were always, whenever they would have them, they were like super, super dark blue.
That's what these were, I'm sure they were either Lee. I think they were Lee's.
I was going to say Lee's. Yeah, they sound like they're Lee's.
And then the thing is like, because, I'd get the Husky size, and then like the bottom of the jeans would go like all the way to my toes, you know. So then my mom would have to hem them up or whatever. And so she had her little sewing machine. But God, I remember that. I remember one year. I think it was eighth grade. That we had got my pants, but for whatever reason, Sears didn't have the shirts I wanted, you know, and I was like, I'd met a couple of my friends and everybody had OPs. Like this would have been 86, 87. Like everybody had Ocean Pacific shirts, you know, with surfers or sometimes like skateboarders. That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time we had a local clothing place called Anthony's. I don't think it was a big chain or anything, but, we had Anthony's and I went there and I was like, desperate. You know what I mean? Like it, like 5 minutes before closing and I'm running around just like trying to find a shirt, you know, something that was cool. And I remember my dad saying, turning to my mom and saying, you might as well buy him something. He's not going to be happy until he gets one new thing. That's all he wants. And I was like, I was like, exactly. Like you're exactly right. And I don't think he meant it that way. Like, you know, like that we were agreeing, but he was exactly right. I was like, I don't want to go back to school the first day with, you know, some old shirt that I wore last year. And I got this OP. It was like a white button down one with a skateboard guy, like right, you know, where the logo went. And he was pink and the back was like pink and orange and stuff. But it was so important, to have, you know, that one new cool shirt to wear. On the first day, I got a couple other things, but I want to hear you guys, some of your stories.
Well, how about you, Ferg? Were you a layaway guy?
That I don't remember because all I did was, you know, I hated trying on clothes, but yeah, I had to do it every year. And like Rob said, I went to Sears too, but Rob got off easy. He got the actual brand name stuff. I had to get the stupid Sears brand Tuscan husky pants and that. Oh, I hated that so much. I actually got made fun of, too, because I wore tough skins.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Here's corduroy tough skins are showing up more and more because we've put them on sale, 25% off. So now corduroy tough skins, Sears' best corduroy jeans for kids, are a big value for you. And to top them off, velour Brag and Dragon pullovers for big kids are on sale, too, 25% off.
But that
That's what the brand was called, Tough Skin?
Yeah. Yeah. So just the name.
Because you have to have a tough skin to wear.
That's exactly.
That's where they got their name.
I never considered that before. That makes a lot more sense now. But once my parents bought a bakery in 1982, once that happened, there wasn't time to do all that school shopping stuff. So.
So he just had to wear an apron to school every day.
I used to go with my mom food shopping, and there was a strip mall, and then there was an inside mall too, and there was a copper rivet inside the mall. So I got to go and get Lee jeans, copper rivet.
Oh,
maybe not. Sean, no?
No, no, no.
Yeah, the last Copper River went out a long time ago.
Was it like a Chess King or something?
No, Chess King was different. This was more like jeans and OP shirts and the OP. Remember the OP corduroy shorts?
Copper Rivet, yeah. Like on the
jeans?
It's called
Copper Rivet on the jeans, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Like on the tough skin?
Yeah, but I started getting the Lee jeans there, and I was more than happy to do that. My mom would give me like $50, and then I'd go over there and while she was food shopping, get my clothes. So
it's funny that you mentioned Chess King. I had forgotten all about that place. I had a friend that was a preppier dresser than I was. And by that, I mean a lot of my stuff came from garage sales. This stuff came from the mall. And I was like, where'd you get that sweet shirt? He's like, I got a Chess King, you know? Yeah. And so I was working – I think I was working at Mazio's. I was making like $3 an hour. And I saved up this money. I was going to go buy a cool shirt at Chess King. I don't know why I remember this. And it was like skinny horizontal stripes that were purple and black with a hood on the shirt. Remember that trend where everybody had hoods on their shirts? God, I thought that was cool. I still do. I wonder. I bet it doesn't fit.
I'm kidding. You still have it?
It's possible if you've seen my garage.
Of course Rob has it. If he doesn't, he'll be on eBay looking for
it. I will. Yeah. I think hooded shirts might make a comeback.
Yeah, once I got.
Do you remember Merry-Go-Round? It was like, I think it was like Chess King.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was like that type of store. And I remember my brother going to those places. I think I was a little younger to be going into those places. I was strictly like a JCPenney's and Kmart because I don't think they had layaway at Chess King.
No.
Well, we had Walmart, so it was kind of the same thing. You know, you would go there. Now, I will tell you this. I remember, I want to say this was eighth grade. It could have been ninth grade. It was somewhere. It was the year that me and two other kids got Don Johnson jackets from Miami Vice. Remember when that was a cool
thing? The sleeves rolled up.
Yes, I had a white one and a gray one.
White cotton.
Yes. And so my mom took me for shoe shopping, you know, because you had to get your new pair of kicks, you know, for going back to school.
Did you get loafers?
I got two pairs. I never had, like, penny loafer kind of things?
Like the white loafers he'd wear to match his sport coat.
No, I got
without socks.
I got two pairs of shoes, and both of them were knockoff generic brand shoes. Okay, and this was, I think it must have been right around the time that Fast Times at Ridgemont High came out, or maybe right after that, because everybody had Vans. Remember, like checkered Vans and stuff like that. But my mom would like take us to Payless or some cheaper type shoe place. So I got two pairs of shoes. The first were these black loafers, and they had abstract shapes on them that resembled palm trees. So there were like green triangles and brown kind of triangle that looked like a tree on a black shoe. The other one, I knew several kids that had Converse shoes, you know, but I got these knockoff Converses that were called Panthers. And the cool thing about them was you may not think so after I say this, was that they were pink. And so they were Pink Panthers, which I thought was the coolest thing ever. And I remember my mother giving me this speech. My mom, when I was like all through grade school and mid high, my mom babysat like other kids for money. And my dad, we were like, at best, like lower middle class income. Like my mom was not going to be buying me more shoes. And she was like, I want to explain this to you right now.
She would tell all the other babysitters to beat you up.
Probably. She's like, you will be wearing these shoes for the entire year. Are you sure that you want to wear pink Panthers and knock off Vans? And I was like, of course I do, mother. Like, what could ever be cooler than these shoes?
How old do you think you were?
You know, I think it's right around the time I got my motorcycle. So probably 14. And I remember thinking, I remember walking into school that first day with my white Don Johnson jacket. Oh, and I got to tell you about this shirt too. Do you remember Hypercolor shirts?
Yeah.
The shirts that changed colors. I got a gray Hypercolor shirt that, when it, the color it would change to was pink. Okay. So if you're listening and you're too young, or too cool, you were too good for Hypercolor, let me explain this to you. They were color changing shirts that changed based on your body temperature. So on the commercial, a guy would have a yellow shirt and he's like, it's Hypercolor. And then he would snap and then it would be, what color did I say it was? Like it would be yellow and it would turn blue, or they had different, like there was an orange and purple or something, but I got this gray shirt. So I had my white jacket on with this gray shirt, and probably some, dark Lee jeans, Husky size, and pink Converse shoes. So, I mean, I'm really a fashion role model, if you think about it. You know, I'm really so doing this. And so what I didn't know about the Hypercolor shirt is that when you're in ninth grade and fat, really it's just your boobs and your underarms that get hot. So really, I walked around in this gray shirt with huge pink circles where my boobs were. Just giant things. And then I was like, maybe it's, I'm sweating because the jacket, I take the jacket off and I have big pink spots under my armpits, which in my defense did match the shoes. So, and I don't even,
I'm the Pink Panther.
Right. I'm like, don't mess with me. You don't want another pink boob. Like, nothing's going to make you cooler than with another 9-year-old or a ninth grade boys. You know what I mean? Like the ninth grade football team. I'm pretty sure they all thought I was pretty awesome. And I don't remember being allowed to pick out my own clothes for like 2 more years. I think after that. So, but I did wear those stupid Van knockoff shoes for like a year. I mean, my parents stuck to their guns.
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of did a similar thing as far as shoes. Like, I never, the only pair of shoes I think I remember getting were British Knights that were something. You know, they were real popular at the time. We used to go to this place called Sneaky Feet at the outlet mall, and I would get fake Converse, and, you know, you'd get two different pairs. So you'd have two, you know, you could wear a yellow and blue or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So it was like buy one, get the other one free.
Remember they had the really tall ones for a while that would like go up to your knee and you folded them down?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about
those
that.
Those are awful.
Yeah, I had these Vision Streetwear ones, which were super cool. They were white. And then I took a Sharpie and I drew a checkered pattern on them so that I would be even more awesome than I was. But, and this is true, I remember starting, like I made the checkers like too small and I remember it was going to take forever to color them in. So I started at some point. And of course, at one point when I met in the middle, they were off, you know? So I had like two checkers that were the same color next to each other. It was really, really, I'm surprised that nobody picked that up as a clothing line later. You know what I mean? Like people saw me, they're like, you know what? What young this men would like.
He's onto something.
Right. Bad shoes and pink boobs. That's really, a look that I think we can market. Let's get on that.
Well, after you did your clothes shopping, and if you're like me, your mom picked up your layaway like 2 days before school, you tried everything on, then, you know, you gotta have breakfast before you go to school. For me, it was always, and my wife and I have learned from this mistake, but for me, it was always something chocolatey, like, or Legos. Eggo waffles. Legos. I would eat Legos. No, but I would have like Eggo waffles, but anything chocolate, Count Chocolate, Cocoa Pebbles is my favorite. Mm. You know, all those things.
Cookie Crisp?
Cocoa Puffs. No, not that. No, no. Just, it had to be like pure chocolate.
Hmm.
But that was that the Rice Krispie ones that were chocolate or
Cocoa Krispies?
Yeah.
I think we had those ones. I weren't my favorite, but normally Cocoa Pebbles in the small little box that I could just destroy.
Oh yeah, in one the boxes, morning. The Cocoa Pebbles, the Fruity Pebbles were tiny. I mean, they were smaller than all the other boxes.
Yeah, and like three times as much.
Well, we had when I was a kid, when I was younger, that's what we had. Now, and my mom, my favorite cereal of all time is Count Chocula. But my mom had to quit buying it because I'd have like 42 bowls of it. Like I would eat the whole box in like 2 days, you know, like you'd have a bowl when you came home and one at midnight and a couple in the morning and, you know, I'd be gone in like 2 or 3 days. Like I said, my mom, started, she worked when, before I was born and when I was really young and then she quit working. So she just started watching people's kids like before and after school. So there was always like 4 or 5 kids around. So we had Sam's Club, which I guess is like, Costco, like what you guys have Costco, right?
We have Sam's Club too.
Oh, do you?
Okay. BJ's and Sam's Club.
But, if you've never been to Sam's Club, you can buy anything in like a 20 pound bag. I mean, you can buy like, you know, a bag of Cheetos, like the size of a punching bag, you know. And so we literally got this bag of Lucky Charms, but it would be a knockoff, like, you know, Lucky Doodads or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it was, it came up to my waist. It was giant. And of course, like you're supposed to tear a little hole, but my sister would rip the whole top of it open. So it's like trying to pull her cereal out of a barrel with no lid on it or something. But that, so, and we would have that, of course, like 2 days later, it would be stale, you know? So yeah. I just remember eating basically stale cereal of the same kind for like
worst.
3 or 4 months until you'd be done with that bag. And then, you know, you get a new bag and it would be not stale for a couple of days. And then, then another few months of stale cereal.
Yeah. Stale cereal is the worst.
Yeah.
Especially anything with the marshmallows.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
And see, and I couldn't remember, like, you know, we'd be out of cereal and all that we left is regular Rice Krispies. And that's when, you know, my mother introduced me, just put sugar all over it.
We did it.
That's the only way I would eat it when I was a kid.
So my dad ate Chex, like Rice Chex and Wheat Chex and whatever other kinds of Chex. So he always had his cereals that were Chex. And just like you, like it, I don't know how much sugar you're supposed to put on Chex cereal. Okay. But I will tell you, I did this. I don't want y'all to think less of me. I would put sugar on the cereal and then you add the milk and you're like, where'd the sugar go? So you put more because the milk gets the cereal wet and the sugar will stick to the cereal. And then the best part is when you're done eating it, then you drink the milk and you're like, there's a big thing of sugar syrup down here at the bottom. And then you would eat that. And then I wouldn't even ride the bus. I would just get next to the bus and run all the way to school after having 92 spoons of sugar on my cereal.
Rob actually had sugar checks before the show tonight.
I ate a whole bag of Lucky
wound.
Lucky Doodads.
See, we don't, our kids don't, they're not allowed to have any like junky cereal like that we had as kids, except for on their birthday. They can pick out like a junky box of cereal. So, but my youngest did start eating, he wanted Rice Krispies. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. And then he's like, where's the sugar, Dad? I'm like, oh, my wife introduced him to putting sugar on it.
But I think a lot of it has to do with back then, all those cool cereals all had cool commercials, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you're like Cookie Crisp or, I mean, Captain Crunch, like every week there was a new commercial and there was something going on where he was fighting the Soggies or
the frog,
the Crunch Berries, you know, remember all that? And so you were like, I got to get the new box because there's something going on that, you know? And so.
So this is Crunch Island, Captain.
Yep. And we're here to show the world the secret of Crunch Island.
Then let's go
through the fields of Upsy-Daisies.
Upsy-Daisy. Over Crunch Island's really hot springs.
Even through Howlin' Tunnel.
There.
Wow. A whole mountain of golden sweet Captain Crunch cereal. meal.
That could be a crunchy part of a balanced breakfast.
That mountain's named after me.
What's it called?
Oh, what else? Mount Crunchmore.
And my kids, I mean, they watch TV. I don't think they see, like, cereal commercials anymore. I don't think.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, so, not like before.
So, Ferg, were you a cereal eater? What?
See, I have two different periods in my life. When my parents bought the bakery, my mom didn't work before that. She just was a housewife, I guess. And then after that, she did work. So before that, I ate cereal. Lucky Charms are my favorite. And I like peanut butter crunch, but it does horrible, horrible things to my insides.
Peanut butter crunch. I can't eat it anymore.
The Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
But then after that, I would have to kind of fend for myself. So I ended up eating, I don't know if you guys remember the Hormel Franken stuff hot dogs with the hot dogs with the chili inside, like a tube of chili inside a hot dog. So I would, I would take an Italian roll and, cut it open, put two of the hot dogs in the Italian roll and then microwave it for a minute and then out the door. And it was either that or these enchiladas my mom would make. For dinner, and I would just eat those for breakfast.
You remember they would always say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? I could just see this commercial where, like, what'd you call that hot dog?
Frankenstuff, it was called.
Where they're like, the most important meal of the day, try Frankenstuff. It's got a tube of chili inside a hot dog wiener. And then some kid, and he's like,
I miss those things. They were good.
Tonight, I, Dr. Frankenstuff, reveal my greatest invention.
Sam Gregor!
A hot dog?
Take a bite.
Wow, there's real chili inside. How'd you do that?
I tunneled deep into juicy Hormel Franks and stuffed them so with rich Hormel chili.
Absolutely amazing.
Positively delicious.
What do you call him, Master?
What else? But Frankenstuff!
Yeah, I've never heard of those.
I've never heard of that either.
I don't think they were around for like maybe 3 years they were around. That's it.
You know, when I was a kid in elementary school, we had a program, and I think it was for, I don't want, this is not a nice way to say it, like poor people, but like people that like low income.
Right.
And they would serve breakfast to low income kids or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The reduced lunch and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
We had that.
Now it's for all kids. My kids eat breakfast at school. They just, and plus, and not to get into it. I mean, we can talk about this later. My son catches the bus now at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh man.
To get to school. It's ridiculous. They've got so many kids. His school is particularly crowded. So, I mean, he gets up at six as it is, takes a shower, gets dressed, gets his stuff together, and then we leave for the bus stop. So, you know, I mean, we're not going to have breakfast at 5:45. But they offer it at the school, you know, so it, and it's the same as just a meal charge or whatever. So we just do that.
Yeah. They had that at my school. And, after my parents got divorced, we were able to get the, reduced lunches and everything, but I would never do it, you know, cause as a kid, I was embarrassed cause you had to, like go on the line and then they would look your name up on a list. And it was like, so you were like standing out and so I was just like, I'm not doing the terrorist watch list
at the airport. They're
you know,
all right, Johnson, come on through.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that they have, programs like that and there's nothing wrong with it. But when, you know, you're a 10-year-old kid,
you don't want to be singled out. Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just be able to go and get your meal and not have to be like, yes, I get reduced lunch here.
I already had a Franken chili dog. Don't, I'm all good here.
I was never into like breakfasty, warm breakfasty kind of stuff when I was a kid. Anyways, I would always eat just want cereal. The only thing would be, waffles. You know, I never got into like eggs and home fries, all the crap that I love now.
Yeah.
Never would have ate it when I was a kid.
I had a neighbor that used to tell me for years for breakfast every morning before school, he would have French toast. And I didn't know what that meant. I just thought it was like toast, but maybe a French lady made it for him or something. I really didn't know what it meant. I thought maybe it was cut a special way. And then one day I spent the night at his house and the next morning his mom made French toast. And I was like, oh my God, like this is what you eat every day. This is amazing. And it was like, you know, when you put the egg in it and the syrup and all that, I was like, why did I not know this? For years, I just thought it was like he was, I felt bad for him. I was like, oh, this poor guy, all he eats is some specially, you know, like toast prepared by a mime or something. I just didn't know what it was, but yeah, I wish I'd have been that kid, but nope, lucky doodads for me. But, so we would eat breakfast and, so I want to ask how you guys got to school because I was a bus rider. I lived, actually, I lived just outside of, our town. I mean, I went to school in Yukon. I tell people I'm from Yukon, but technically our address was in Oklahoma City. And so the bus would come all the way out there. But, I lived at the end of a long street and there were actually two bus stops before the bus stop I got on, which is right at the corner, which was my house. So I remember eating cereal and watching whatever cartoons. I think it was like either Popeye or Woody Woodpecker. Those come to mind. But so I could sit there, especially when it was cold. And when it was warm, you wanted to go out and hang out with your friends waiting for the bus to come. But when it was cold, I would sit inside and do that. And I could see all the way out the window, all the way down the street. And then once I saw the bus, you know, I'd get ready. But I rode a bus to school basically every day until I got my motorcycle license.
Wow. I didn't live far enough for the bus until I got to middle school. But I mean, all of elementary school, it was just, we'd walk, you know, all winter, it just walked down the street. It was probably, I'd say it was maybe a little less. It was probably 3/4 of a mile, maybe something like that. But there's always like the street I lived on, I always had a lot of kids. And we had, big groups that would walk, you know? So, and there was, my brother is a couple years older than me. Then we had the Grant kids that lived across the street and Sean was a year younger than me. And Brian was, I think a year older than me or 2 years and, but younger than my brother. So that we always had people to go to school with, you know? And then when we got to middle school, we kind of did carpooling. My mom would drive these days, maybe his dad, the Grant, their father would drive. And then there were some other people that didn't even live around us that got swindled into picking us up. And it was a big, big hoop-de-doo. But, we were able to, cause we had a walk home, I think, but we got driven there, but there was a Metro bus. That was the only bus that we could have taken. Like we
really?
Weren't, we weren't far enough for the bus route, but you could take the Metro. And I think I did it one time and I was just like, I am not doing this. I'm not doing this again, man. You know? But what about you, Fer? Were you a walker or busser?
In elementary school, my elementary school is right across the street from our house. So that, you know, I just walked there obviously. But then, when I went to sixth grade, the middle school was too far away. So I had to take the bus, which I hated. I did not like being on the bus. And then, luckily or unluckily, however you want to look at it, the next year they moved the, qualifications for taking the bus. So then I was not far away enough. So then I started walking. So me and my friend Kenny would walk. He lived right down the street. We'd walk together and, go past this, what is now a super fun site. We would walk through there. And then, there was a stationery store, that sold magazines and stationery stuff and drinks. And they had video games there. So we'd stop in there before school, play some Donkey Kong.
Nice.
Get a Coke. Yeah. And then we'd pick up my other two friends and then, head to school. So it took us, what would have been a 20 minute walk took us about an hour.
Wow.
So you had a nice adventure before.
Yeah.
That's cool. I only remember walking home one time. Hung out in this area called the pit after school, which was like a big carpeted area with steps that go down into this big area. So it was kind of like concentric circles. You know, there's like 3 or 4 layers. So there were kids could sit all the way around and then it just went down and down. We called it the pit. And, my buddy and I decided we were going to have an arm wrestling tournament for some reason. And there was a teacher, that would always give us a hard time. No matter what, you were supposed to sit there and be quiet in the pit. And so, and she had a whistle that she would blow if people were, breaking the rules or whatever. And she would make you leave the pit or something. And so she blew her whistle right next to my head and said that we were fighting. And I was like, what? Like we're arm wrestling. And so, she told me to go to my locker and get some paper to write sentences that I will not fight in the pit, which I thought, can we not just agree on that? Like, I have no intention of fighting in the pit, but she wanted 100, you know, lines of it or something. And so I went to my locker to get paper. And when I came back, my bus had already left. So I didn't want to tell her. And of course, you know, I didn't want to call my mom because I thought I'd be in trouble. You know, I was probably, 12 maybe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I know how to get home. The bus goes all the way down this one street. It turns right. It goes all the way up. I have since looked this up on Google Maps. It is 3.7 miles.
Holy cow.
The other thing is, I mean, it's down roads that the speed limit is like 50 miles an hour and there's no sidewalk or like I was just walking on the side, you know. And then, of course, when I got home, I got in trouble because I was so late coming home, you know. Yeah. But that was the only time that I ever walked home. And, man, were my Pink Panthers tired.
And your boobs were sweaty and pink.
It was pink. There was no part of it that wasn't pink.
Yeah, my kids take they're all bussers now. Well, my oldest isn't now, but the younger two, they're bussers. You got to get them on this morning, and I don't know. I never had that experience. I know some people don't like it, some people don't mind it. You know, we've had issues here and there with this kid or that kid, but I never. And I was glad. I was always afraid of it because I'd always heard stories of, you know, unruly kids on the bus.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, and my bus, I'm sure most people's buses were like this. I think they were. Is that all the cool kids sat in the back? Like the older kids got in the back, and then all the little kids and stuff were in the front. And all the big kids were my neighbors. They were the guys that lived across the street and next door. So kind of like by proxy, I got to go in the back. But also, I had this super sweet ghetto blaster. I had the best ghetto blaster of anybody. Mine took, like, some people's only use 4D batteries. Mine took 6 because it had two more batteries because it was another 33% awesome. And so I would, like, they would bring their tapes. Like, I remember they would bring Motley Crue and Twisted Sister and, like, things before I had been exposed to them. But I was like, hell yeah, we could play it on the super awesome ghetto blaster. And so I kind of got to sit in the back with them because I would bring my own radio.
Yo, Pinky, bring that radio back here.
Exactly. Then they would leave, and then I would put on, you know, Cyndi Lauper, but I do it like real quiet so they couldn't hear. And I'm like, they don't know my true colors.
Sing yourself.
My true colors now, they can shine through.
So this has been all the stuff building up to going, but that first day back, man, it was just that feeling you get in your stomach. I can remember losing sleep for a few days beforehand, just being all worried. And it was a little simpler, you know, K through fourth grade, because most of the time you'd go there and the teacher would give you assigned seats, and you were in, at least for me, you didn't move to different classes. Like, you had your normal class. The only time you went anywhere was like gym or lunch or music, but you'd move with the same students throughout the day, you know? So you were nervous about who's going to be in your class. But once you got there, it was out of your hands. They told you to sit, but man, when I started getting into like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that's when I knew I had anxiety and just, oh God, I'd be so scared, you know, cause there's a lunch. Cause even in elementary school, you sat with your class,
right?
You know, you might pick who you sit next to, but you're going to be with somebody in your class.
Yeah, everybody had to line up, get your lunch ticket, whatever. Did you guys have lunch tickets?
Yeah.
I always brought.
Like where they would punch it, you know, so the teacher would have her little plastic box that had the lunch tickets, and she would pull them all out, give everybody their ticket, and then you would go down and then they would punch it, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you were me and you forgot to tell your parents, then they would write your name down. They're like, okay, O'Hara, you're -1. And then they'd punch your card twice the next time when you got a new card.
I never bought lunch until I got into like eighth grade.
Oh, really?
Ninth grade.
Yeah. So,
did you guys used to have like when they would bring you like those Skippy cups? Remember, it'd be like either for someone's birthday or before a holiday. They would bring down the little Skippy cup ice creams with the little wooden spoons.
No.
I can remember that in elementary school. Like, I don't know if it was for someone's birthday. Maybe the parents paid for it or something, but I can remember that a lot when I was a kid.
Well, I remember in elementary school, I had three or four kids. Of course, I was O'Hara. There was Robbie Ogle. There was Jamie Olvera. There was Brian Olea. So these were, I think there was Diane O'Brien. These are all people that I always sat in front of or behind of, you know, we were all the O's. So you always knew, you know, your last name people. So I remember doing that. As far as lunch goes, I was probably like 50-50, I think. Like, I would eat, you know, whatever was in the cafeteria quite a bit, but I did take my lunch. My mom would make me a little sandwich and, you know, put some milk in the thermos and either a little baggie of chips or something like that, or a banana. Now, when I got to seventh and eighth grade, the cafeteria, there was now two parts of the cafeteria. There was what they called, the tray lunches and the hot food or something like that. Or it was like maybe hot food and fast food. I don't know. But anyway, what the idea was is that one side was you went through and you just got the little tray. You didn't get to pick or choose anything you wanted. You know, you were having manwich and a vegetable and a fruit and a dessert and a roll and a milk. That's it. You know, whatever. So everybody got the same. But, and basically it was $1 a day. When you went through the other line, it was fast food stuff. And you could pick and choose whatever you want. You just paid cash, you know. And so you could get one of those little mini pizzas, you know, like the they sell them now, like a tube of six of them or whatever. It's like one of those. You could get a pizza and a Little Debbie and a shake for $2. Or the hamburger was less. So you could get a hamburger and fries and a shake for $2. So it was basically twice as much. But so my mom said, you know, I'll give you enough money to cover the tray line. And then if you want to spend your own money to go through the fast food, which of course I was like, duh, because why do I want manwich when I could have pizza and, you know, chocolate shake every day for lunch? So they weren't really big into pushing nutrition for kids back then.
No,
like pizza and Little Debbie and chocolate shake. That'll shut them up. Just give them that. They'll be happy. Now, 11th and 12th grade, my junior and senior year, so I was, when I was 16 and when I was 17, we had open campus. We didn't even have a cafeteria. So you could either leave for lunch or you could walk over and eat lunch next door at the school with the 9th and 10th graders. So let me tell you, that was not getting you a cheerleader for the prom. If you went and you were like, hey, baby, for lunch, you want to go, I'll let you have a punch on my lunch ticket and we'll go eat with the ninth graders. So everybody left for lunch. And there were, you know, fast food places all around the high school, of course, some further than others, some more expensive than others. And I'm going to tell you that, on an average week, I probably spent about $120 on lunch. That would be $2 to $3 every day for lunch and at least one speeding ticket every week because the cops knew that there were a bunch of 16 and 17, like hundreds of us leaving every day. So you would pull up to a stop sign by the, like next to the school. We had no brains. And you're like, hell yeah, I'm going to peel out right here. And then a cop would, you know, write you a ticket or whatever. So it just seemed like you were always getting pulled over. And because that was the other thing is, You didn't want to be the 80th person to arrive at Taco Bell. You know, you wanted to try to get there fast. So, you know, we would all just run out to, it was like a running start at a NASCAR race or something, you know, like, you know, the lunch bell would ring. Everybody would run to their cars, jump in, peel out and just, you know, haul butt trying to get to, you know, the nearest taco place or pizza buffet.
Yeah. We'd skip out sometimes. There was a few things. But a lot of times I didn't want to go, or I didn't go back. So. But what about you, Ferg? How were you feeling like that first day back?
When I was a kid in elementary school, I loved school. It's so much so that I actually went to summer school twice because I wanted to go. So God, I didn't really have any problems.
That's like me. I love school.
I didn't have any problems up until sixth grade when I switched schools, and they they did this kind of laughable thing. We had 2 fifth grade classes, and they tried to get us used to changing classes when sixth grade was coming up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they would make the two classes switch classes. So we would go out in the hallway and line up and wait to get into the other class. So it had absolutely nothing to do with changing classes in sixth grade. So that's what I thought it was going to be. And then I got there, I just scared to death. And whenever we got new clothes, I'm not sure why my mom wouldn't wash the clothes. We just wore them new.
Okay.
And that smell is tied into being scared to death of going to school. And, I hadn't thought of it for a long time because when we got married, my wife was like, why don't you wash these first before you wear them? I was like, okay. So we did that. And then a couple of years ago, I bought a shirt or something and I didn't do that. And it just made me, I couldn't understand why I was yourself? So nervous wearing the shirt. It's like, oh, that's why.
Isn't that funny? Those weird little memories that take you back to like that same feeling.
Yeah. The one for me now is smell. There's this lady I work with, and she wears the same perfume that my elementary school librarian wore, and it just takes me back to that library and all the time. It's weird. It's very weird.
Do you just sneak up behind her now, and you're like...
No. That would be a little rude.
You're like, I'm going to sniff your hair now.
Yeah, she wears enough of it, so I don't need to sneak up on her.
You smell so good, lady librarian. You know, I'm like your wife, man. I cannot wear anything unless it's washed.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah, because you don't know how many people wore that and tried many people had their pink sweaty boobs inside that shirt.
That's true. I took that shirt back, that hypercolor shirt, after 2 years. I
hate the feel of it too.
Yeah.
It's not washed.
My aunt and uncle bought my sister and I these shirts for our birthdays. My sister's birthday is earlier in August than mine. My sister's shirt, they were both white t-shirts. And my sister's shirt had a big three-dimensional latex heart sewn into it, like a realistic-looking heart with valves and stuff, but it was 3D, you know what I mean? Like almost like a squeeze toy for a dog or something, sewn into the front of it, and then the edges of the shirt were ripped so it looked like it was coming out of the shirt. And underneath, I think it said like bleeding heart or something like that. And I got this big mouth. It had a big giant mouth with teeth and a huge tongue. And at the bottom, it said, ah, like that. And so we wore them to the first day of school. This probably was sixth or seventh grade. And I was like, who wouldn't love this shirt? just every kid would come up to me and poke me right in that spot, you know, and they're like, hey, that's cool. Doink. Mm-hmm. Or punch me or try to pull it off the shirt. And then also the inside the shirt where it was sewn was just rubber latex. So it like starts sticking to you because you're so hot and sweaty, you know? And it was weird because I had pink boobs and it wasn't even a hypercolor shirt. It was weird. I remember like this one kid was like, I bet you could use it like a puppet. And he's trying to shove his hand up my shirt to like do it. And I don't think I ever wore that shirt to school again.
Seriously.
And I remember a teacher even mentioning at one point, like, you know, yeah, don't wear that shirt anymore. It's too much of a distraction. And I was like, I agree with you.
Too many people putting their hands up your shirt.
I know. It's such a weird thing, you know. And it still happens today. I don't know. Just today, I was at Chuck E. Cheese and these kids. No.
Leave weird. My pink boobs alone.
Right. That's the Pink Panther. I know that guy.
You know, one of the things, like, Ferg, with the smell now, you know, fall. it kind of reminds me of going back to school, that smell, because it's like shortly after. It's like the first couple of weeks you go back to school, it's kind of still summery, kind of hot up here, but then it's just like, boom, the fall is here.
Yeah.
And another thing is, like, every year it seemed they would play like The Wizard of Oz, I think, like at the end of September. You could always expect it to be I don't know if it was like NBC or, you know, ABC, one of those channels, but they would always play The Wizard of Oz at back to school time. So.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Back when you had to wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you guys a question about lunch now? Your kids?
No. We already did that.
I'm just curious because I remember I always had to have cash for lunch. Where your kids go to school, would they accept debit or credit cards for lunch?
Ours is, my kids is, I think it's completely online.
Really?
So you can log onto the school website and use your debit card and just put money into their account.
Right.
And then when they go through the thing every time, they just mark them off or something. But I will tell you something that's different. And that is that, we put in, I think it's more now, but whatever it is, let's say it just round, let's say it's $2 a day. So we put in enough money. Let's see, that'd be $20 for 2 weeks, right? And so about halfway through the second week, we get a little email notification. It's like, by the way, your child's thing is out of funds. And we're like, no, we put in 2 weeks and it only lasted like 7 days. But what we found out is that they will let you get extra desserts and extra milk, and then they just charge it to your thing.
Right.
And so Mason had a thing where, you know, he had, you know, 7 lunches and 14 chocolate milks. And so we finally had to tell him, like, that's not free. And by the way, you're not having lunch Thursday and Friday. So I'm sure you did, but yeah, I think ours is completely online now.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if we have it online, but they do have it where you can like put credit on and stuff like that. And if they forget lunch, I mean, forget their lunch, they're not out of luck. They'll give them something, and then they'll send something home saying, whatever it is, $1.25. It's around there for a lunch or something like that. So, I mean, you don't have to starve for the day. They'll definitely feed you.
And, you know, I think this is a joke, when we were kids or whatever, but I really don't think it's a joke. I think it's real. I do remember, like, on Monday you would have, you know, hamburgers or something like that. And then Tuesday you would have Manwich or something, what was like chopped up hamburger. And then the next day would be lasagna with little bits of sausage in it. And then one day would be like vegetable stew. And like, I mean, even as little kids, we were like, I think they're stretching this out multiple days, you know, and now like now I'm sure they were, you know, but at the time we thought we were really, really on to something by figuring that out, you know.
Do you guys have pizza every Friday?
I don't remember I don't think we had it every Friday, but what I do remember is that our local newspaper would publish what was going to be for the lunches for the next week.
Yeah.
You remember that? And so you would look at it and you'd be like, yeah, old Thursday's old broccoli and cheese days, Ma. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. And so that would be the day you would take your lunch.
Right.
I feel like I missed out on all that. I didn't buy a lunch until I got, like I said, in like 7th, 8th grade, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I always took a lunch, and we've talked about before the tin lunch boxes.
Oh yeah.
Whatever they were. But I also had a Tupperware lunch box.
Really?
And it had, it was like a big Tupperware box that had like this strap that would connect up on the top. And then it had little individual Tupperwares, you know, like a little circle kind of one, a sandwich holding one, one for snacks. And I still have to this day the sandwich holder. So I still use it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how did you get a sandwich? it's so small, you know? And it's funny because my wife, Nicole, is the opposite. She's like, I never had lunch, you know, I just bought every day. My mom didn't pack a lunch. So
did you ever have like a brand lunchbox thing, like a one with a not a logo, but you know what I mean? Like a character on it, or was it, you just always had that?
Yeah. I had those, but I don't know. It was like, I mean, Tupperware parties were huge in the '80s.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I wish they still were. I'm obsessed with Tupperware and my wife hates it, but I mean, I'm so bad that I'll save Chinese food containers. I'm like, it's Tupperware. It's not Tupperware. It's just plastic. That's going to kill you.
We had, I remember when I was a kid, I mean, I started going to school the year after Star Wars came out. So I definitely remember I had a metal Star Wars lunchbox. I definitely remember having the Empire Strikes Back one. I definitely remember having Return of the Jedi. I think those might have been plastic ones versus the metal, but
the tin, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what other lunchboxes I had. I may have had a Pac-Man one also, but I definitely had, like, you know, and do you remember, I just had this memory where, like, when you were a kid, you would bring your lunchbox and then the teacher would, like, they would, like, put them in a box or something. Do you remember that? And then they would carry it, like, take it away from you. And then at lunch, they would bring, I guess that was to keep fat kids like me from 9:30 going and finding the chips, you know, like, I think I got some snacks over here, guys. But maybe they kept them cold or something. And then,
sounds really familiar.
Yeah. And then when you went down to lunch, then there would be this giant cardboard box with all the lunch boxes in it and you would dig yours out. And like I said, I always had milk or chocolate milk or sometimes Kool-Aid, I think, but in the thermos, you know?
Yeah.
Hawaiian Punch, man. It was like when juice boxes first started coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I always had Hawaiian Punch every day.
No,
Hawaiian
I had the punch. Thermos and then you, you had the
snap
little
snap up the little straw,
right? The plastic little fake straw thing, and then I had a crazy straw, and I put the crazy straw in the hole for the little thing, and you drink it, and it'd be like go around. That's the international sound effect for a crazy straw.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the Sips juice boxes? Sips with two S's at the beginning.
No.
No. They had an iced tea one that I used to drink that a lot, and my mom would put them in the freezer. Yeah. And then I'd bring them with me to school. And by the time lunchtime came around, you know, like when slushy. It wasn't wintertime, it would be, you know, be cold, but it would be defrosted.
You know, what's funny about the lunches is my mom always got peanut butter and jelly sandwich in a Ziploc baggie and then a few chips, you know, like just out of the bag of chips, like probably Ruffles or something in a baggie sealed. And then maybe a little Debbie thing or something. And that thermos, I don't remember having anything different ever. You know what I mean? Like my parents wouldn't put leftovers. Like I never got, you know, pizza from the night before in there it was always peanut butter and jelly sandwich, always the chips. You know, I don't remember any variance at all in that.
Yeah, that was the same for me. I still eat peanut butter and jelly.
Me too.
I love it. I'll take it to work. But the difference is now, you know, back then, my mother used to put not Sips in the freezer, but she would put Ho-Hos and Twinkies, the Hostess cupcakes in the freezer. Man, those things were awesome. And she would put one in our lunch. And then we'd get home from school and you'd go back in we had like this, it was not like a real nice addition on the back. We used to just call it the back room. It was something they added on. The house was kind of like a cottage house and they had like a chest freezer back there.
Oh,
so
yeah,
after
yeah.
school, I'd run back there and grab a frozen Twinkie or something. Like, I don't know. Trust me, my kids get enough junk. Like when we junk it up, we junk it up. But as far as before school and for snacks at school, very rarely do they get like stuff like that.
That's,
I mean, sometimes
so
we will.
Funny. We had a chest freezer in our garage. We did the exact same thing. Did you have we always called it the day old bread store?
Mm-hmm.
It was like
the
Rainbow
Hostess store.
Hostess. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I don't know how much a package of Zingers was like at the store, like 50 cents for 3 Zingers or whatever.
God, I love Zingers.
Oh God, I know. But then you go to the day old bread store and it would be like the box of 10 for like the same price as one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I remember, I know it's surprising to everybody listening that I've had a weight problem for years, but I used to stop at the day old bread store and I'm like, well, that's bullshit. Why would I buy one thing of Zingers when I could get 10? And then I'd get to work and I'd only have 7. Like, these things are great. I don't know why I didn't do this as an adult more often. Just buy Zingers all the time. But I think my grandma also had one of those chest freezers, just like what you described, Sean. She had a back, like a porch that they had enclosed, you know, and she had her freezer out there. And I was probably like 9 years old before I discovered that you weren't supposed to eat Twinkies frozen. Like we would just, you know, she'd say, go out there and get you some Twinkies, you know, and we'd go get them. And it was like a beaver gnawing on a log because it was frozen, you know, and you'd be like with your front teeth and you're like trying to get, you know, because if you did it fast enough, you could get to the cream filling thing and it'd be frozen like a stick.
Well, the yellow spongy was easy, but yeah, that it was like a cream stick in there. Yeah,
you'd
awesome.
Be like gnawing it with your teeth and stuff, you know. I have very sharp incisors now. I attribute to eating those, but that's exactly. And you know what? For a kid that loved to eat snacks and desserts so much, I don't ever remember eating anything from my lunchbox before lunch. You know what I mean? Like I think now, like if my wife said, hey, we're going to take our lunches next week and she put a thing of Ho-Ho's in there, there's no way that would make it to lunch. That wouldn't make it out of the driveway. I would be like, open up my little, and I'm sure we, you know, this is a side story, but you know, I've been collecting retro lunch boxes for a while, and I probably have like 20 or so maybe. And I do occasionally take my lunch to work in one of those. And by the way, I have just as much of a chance of getting laid carrying a Chuck E. Cheese lunchbox now as when I was in fourth grade or whatever. They're both. It was a chick repellent then and now, probably worse now, but I do, like, I still use these lunchboxes or whatever. But if my wife put, you know, like, oh, here's a thing of Zingers in there, I guarantee they're not making it out of the neighborhood.
You're in reverse in the driveway.
Yeah. You know, I'm going through that thing.
I'm the same way.
Right. When it comes to lunch, I'm like, oh, thank God I saved that, the crust off that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I guess I'll eat that.
Yeah. I'm definitely the same way now at work. I'll have my brand cereal with some bananas, but man, if my wife made cookies in it before and I have a couple for lunch, nah, there's milk still left over.
I don't ever remember thinking of that, like when I was riding the bus to school, like, oh man, I should eat, you know, these Twinkies now. It just never crossed my mind.
Well, moving from snacks and lunch, we have the after school. I'm assuming you guys took the bus home. I mean, we walked home, got into, you know, not trouble, but you know, you'd always get into a little mischief on the way home, goofing off and everything. But like, did you guys have anything? Were your parents home, or did you guys have to go home to an empty house and wait for them to get home from work, stuff like that? Because for me, it was usually my mother was home until I got a little older, and she wasn't. But it was pretty much go home. Yeah, I did my homework, and I'm doing air quotes. this is why I did fifth grade twice. And then, you know, you're supposed to take your school clothes off, and then it was just boom, out the door until you got called, you know, through the neighborhood for dinner.
Ferg, what about you?
Well, I took the bus that 1 year, so I would just, you know, go home and, like Sean, go outside and go to Kenny's house, play Atari or something like that. But after that, I started kind of exploring the area near the school, and I found a record store. I would hang out there, and a coin shop. I used to hang out at the coin shop, too. Yeah, I would buy Buffalo nickels and stuff, and they were cheap.
Another attractant for women.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Meet
me down at the coin exchange.
Yeah, yeah, with my big snare drum, carrying my snare drum case. Chicks love snare drum cases. But a lot of times I go to, there was like a pharmacy place called Drug Fair, and they had a big arcade in there in the back of the store.
Nice. So we'd
go and hang out there. I remember they had Food Fight there. It's the only place I ever saw a Food Fight. And what else? Pole Position, Punch Out, they had a lot of my favorites they had there.
We, the rule was, I don't know. My parents from a very early age, instilled this fear into me that every stranger was going to kidnap me and cut off my head. I don't know why that, they were, I think that might've been around the time that some kid got kidnapped or something in the early 80s. I remember my mom telling me, like, going to a department store, you know, like I would need to go to the bathroom. She's like, okay, you go in there, and if there's anybody that looks like they're going to cut off your head, you just come right out or whatever. Like, and then I'd look at people, you know, when they're in the bathroom, like, oh, that guy looks all right. Like, I'd size them all up, you know.
Just staring.
Right. So as a bus rider, the most important thing was you couldn't get off at anybody else's stop. You had to get off at your stop, you know, because if you got off at your friend's house, then all of a sudden your mom would be freaking out and think that, I don't know, somebody on the bus cut off your head. Like, I don't know what they would have really been worried about. But so for me, you took the bus, you went to your house, dropped your books off, and then you're like, I'm out. And then you were free till dinner time, you know, 6 o'clock for us. And it wasn't a big deal. Like, if my mom came out and said dinner and you didn't come home, you just didn't eat dinner.
Right.
So it was like, it was to your advantage to be listening for the dinner call, you know? Cause I remember coming home more than once and having, like, you know, cold roast or leftover, you know, like room temperature pizza, and, you know, them just saying, oh, well, we yelled dinner, you didn't come home, so too bad. It is definitely not like kids today, not even like my kids, you know.
No,
they call DHS.
You had to get home.
Right. Oh, yeah, you know, you serve your kid room temperature pizza, and then the police come over or something.
Yeah. One of the other things I remember doing after school a lot was watching cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, there was Heckle and Jekyll and Casper, the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I think, was there Looney Tunes? I'm not sure. Maybe there was some Looney Tunes on, but, you know, just watching TV a lot. The Addams Family, watching that, and the Munsters, stuff, you know.
Pretty sure we had a block of, like, maybe He-Man and something else. And then I remember there was and then the Muppet Show was on. And then after that was, like, two or three shows that I didn't care about at all, like What's Happening and Good Times and stuff, where I was like, you know, something. I would just be like, all right, I'm off to go play. So I do remember wanting to watch the Muppet Show, but then after that, I would just take off.
Yeah, those are the ones I did watch, What's Happening and Good Times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Barney Miller was one of my favorites when I was a kid after school, yeah.
Yeah, I think like Different Strokes was on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Facts of Life, you know,
Yeah, after school, we'd watch that. And man, I watched a lot of TV.
My wife always says that. My kids, you know, they have no concept of wanting to watch a program when it airs. They don't have any idea what that even means, you know, like, you know, when, Robin Williams, passed away recently, I was telling, my daughter about, Mork and Mindy. And so we just go online and I'm like, oh, this is Mork and Mindy. And then we start watching it. She's like, I want to watch another one, you know, and you're like, okay. And then there was something recently, I don't know, one of these, I think it was, Buddy, you know, the cake decorator guy. And we watched an episode, and then my daughter's like, well, let's watch another one. I'm like, you can't watch another one. It's not on request. It was just on TV, you know? And then they're like, well, just go find it. I'm like, well, no, you can't, you know? And then I did, but they have no concept of what it was like to, you know, if you weren't at home at 4:30, you didn't get to see the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, you caught it or you didn't.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island, that was another one too that I remember watching.
Yeah.
And I still watch that today, you know, on, I think it's MeTV or something, one of those. We have a few retro channels around here. So, and my daughter will sit and watch them. She's really good about that. Like, she'll want to sit and watch the old shows. The boys, the boys like Magnum. We're playing Magnum out front for a while.
That's awesome.
Did you watch either of you guys watch cartoons before school?
No.
We watched the Great Space Coaster.
You're right. That's it. Yes.
The
Great Space Coaster.
There's no canoes.
It's good canoes. I love that so much.
I have gone online repeatedly to try to find episodes of that, and it's just nowhere.
No.
You just can't find it. You know, I wanted to show that to my kids. We watched, for some reason, I remember, and it's funny because, like, you'll remember 10 shows that you used to watch in the morning, and obviously they couldn't have all been at the same time because I didn't watch TV for 5 hours in the morning, you know, but maybe it was like different eras or something. But I do remember Speed Racer was one that I watched in the morning. I remember Speed Racer being on. And one that I remember was The Beatles. Remember The Beatles cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that in the morning. And, of course, I was the weird kid. Of course, my dad, both my parents are really into music. And, you know, I'd go on the bus and I'd be like, I want to hold your hand. And then some kid would punch me in the face. And they're like, you sing Michael Jackson or nothing. Yeah, don't be singing that old pinky Beatles crap. But yeah, the Beatles cartoon, I totally remember that. And Woody Woodpecker, we watch a lot of Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah, Woody Woodpecker was after school for us. And when I was sick and I'd stay home, then that's when I would watch the Flintstones.
Shows.
Yes, it would be game shows like Let's Make a Deal.
Tic Tac Toe. That was my favorite.
Joker's Wild, Family Feud.
Good stuff.
My kids have started watching Family Feud after when we get home. And it's the Steve Harvey one. It's on from 5 to 6 every day. It's on two episodes, 5 to 5:30 and 5:30 to 6. And I don't remember – I mean, the Steve Harvey version of Family Feud is a solid PG-13.
Really? I mean,
every question, you know. Like there was one the other day. It was like name something that gets up before you do. And I'm not – I'll just let you imagine what the number one answer is. It's exactly what you think it is. And then my 9-year-old daughter, she's like, is there dog's name? You know, and then the other thing is they'll always put like two answers. Like I'm trying to think of something, not completely vulgar. Like there was one that would say like, you know, name something that grown men still like to play with. And then the guy's like, all right, how about my wife's breasts or something? And then it'll say the answer and it'll be like breasts and then / mama's fun pillows, I think is what it said.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And then my 9-year-old, you know, later, she's like, well, I got to go put my fun pillows. I'm like, don't say that ever. I don't want to hear you saying that, you know. I don't remember Family Feud being like that, you know. Yeah. They definitely
it was different with Richard Dawson. It was like he was very sexual with like the women that were on, but it wasn't like how you're saying. It was just different. I mean, the way he'd lean on the thing and right up at him and get a little smooch here and there. Like, always got a kiss. But it was different. It was there. It was just a different way. Now it's like they have to put it out there, with questions and everything.
There's no, like, hinting about it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's blatant. A lot of stuff was like that. Even back, like, I like all the old-time radio stuff. I mean, it was still there. It was just done in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like you gotta be to get ratings or people to watch, you have to have it like that. I don't know. It kind of bothers me. But
now, one thing we didn't put in our show notes, but I think it's fair to mention is that I remember as a kid, it was like right next to receiving a death sentence was when the teacher said, now here's your homework for tonight. So did you guys, like, here's my ritual. We didn't have to do homework when we came home. Like, we came home, we threw our books in, and then we hit the front yard. We would go play baseball or run around, or mostly I would just get beaten up. And then, so we would come home and have dinner, and then after dinner, it was homework time. You had to do homework before, you know, you got to watch TV or whatever. And for us, homework was always done at the dinner table. So after dinner, we would clean the table and put all our dishes away and wipe it down. And then you would get your homework and you had to sit at the dinner table, and do it, you know, and then show your mom or whatever, you know, it was all done. But did you guys like have a set time or a set way that you did your homework or anything like that?
Real simple. No, not for me.
No.
It was, did you have homework? No. Or yeah, I did it already.
Yeah.
That was it.
I remember doing a lot of homework in high school at lunch.
Lunch
for the rest of the day, yeah.
And you know, when I got older, I definitely remember doing some on the bus.
Yeah.
And you had to wait for, you know, because the buses, I don't even think, maybe they don't even have a suspension. It's just like a jack, like four jackhammers at each corner with wheels on them. So your homework would look like, you know, somebody who'd had a stroke, like while they were doing their math homework, is just these shaky lines everywhere. I do remember doing some homework on the bus, but I don't know. There always seemed like there were all these ample opportunities, like when you were waiting for the bus or when you were, you know, waiting to do this to get homework done. So especially earlier, it seems like I got it all done before I got home.
Yeah, I don't remember doing much homework at all. I can't remember. I probably blocked it out though.
Yeah, Mr. Voluntary Summer School.
Yeah, yeah. That went down the tubes after elementary school.
I wanted to hear. Tell me about that. You actually just volunteered to go to summer school?
I told my mom I wanted, once I found out it was happening, I wanted to go. And then the second year, there were a couple of big bruisers in there, and I never went back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, we had, you know, you talk about things that you could get away with back then that you can't do now. We had, of course, you know, they had, expulsion, like if you got kicked out of school and then suspended, which was just like for a couple of days. But, I guess for families that were either single parent families or, you know, with both parents at work, we had something called in-school suspension, which was they would literally, like you would sit at a desk up against a wall and then they wheeled this box up around you, like a giant wooden box. And the top was open so light could come in, but the other three walls were wood and then it was on casters. And, in seventh grade, I signed up for the school newspaper and I wanted to, I was like an investigative, like little Robbie O'Hara, investigative reporter. Like I wanted to, you know, be the guy on the street, Guy Smiley. And so I volunteered for in-school suspension. And I went and talked to the principal and I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to write an article about it. And of course the angle was like, it's no fun, you know? And so that was going to be the message that I passed on. So I did do that in-school suspension. And the best part about it was they didn't tell the people that I had volunteered for it. So they were complete jerks to me the entire day. You know, and if they caught you sleeping, that would be like another day, you know, so you couldn't just sit in there and sleep. You're supposed to do homework and they would come in and just yell at me. And I was like, you know, I volunteered for this. And like, yeah, you did. Shut up. You know, just,
and probably would have been worse if they had known.
That's probably true. And I remember, people would walk by and just bang on the box out of nowhere, which is like post-traumatic stress disorder. Like mortars just going off all around you. You know, you're just doing your homework and then bam, you know, and you would jump out of this chair and yell at people through the box, you know, but, the things that you think are fun as a kid, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I did the old in-school suspension, not voluntarily, a few times, but we'll save that for another school episode. I think we covered quite a bit going back to school stuff, and I gotta admit, I don't miss it, but you know, you look back and it was just, man, it was just such an easy time, and
you
know.
They told you where to go, where to be. Like you woke up, they were like, put on your clothes, go out, get on this bus, go here, go to this room, sit here for 8 hours, do this, eat this out of a box, go home. You know what I mean? It was like, it was so simple. It was people just herding you around or whatever. And you didn't have to think about, you know, what you're supposed to be doing or going or whatever. And I don't know, that simplicity kind of missed that.
Yeah, but you hated it at the time too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd like it now, man. I'm just
can't wait to go to work every day.
In honor of this show, I am going to buy another lunchbox. I'm going to go on tonight and buy a lunchbox. And I'm going to take one of my
strawberry shortcake.
And my sister had a Holly Hobby one. I don't know if she had a strawberry. I might get a Holly Hobby. That will definitely get me up a notch with the ladies. But I think I am going to. I'm going to take my lunch tomorrow to work. I'm going to box up. So I'll send you a picture of my lunch tomorrow that I fix.
All right. Well, Ferg, thanks for coming back on with us.
Thanks for having me. It was great. I love talking to you guys.
So what's going on over at the 2600 podcast?
Plugging along. Actually, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Player Missile podcast about the Atari 800.
another Rob, right?
Another Rob hosting an Atari podcast. Yeah. He's actually sponsoring a contest on my show. He's going to be giving away an ebook copy of, Racing the Beam.
And,
I'll have the whole, shebang on my show, but you have to guess our combined scores on Space Invaders. And he's going to be playing the 2600 version. I'm going to be playing the 800 version.
Are you any good at Space Invaders?
On the 2600, I'm pretty good. I don't know about the 800. It's been a while since I played it.
Okay. So you're playing that version?
Yeah. He's playing the 2600 version.
Oh, okay. And so, you think your score would be what?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. You're not going to tell. Oh, we have to. No. I was trying to get.
He's
going to
have
one
a hint
on the
for his score in his episode 3, which is going to be he's covering Space Invaders in episode 3. So.
Mm-hmm.
But well, that'll
that's
be fun.
And Racing the Beam is an awesome book. I
it's
love that.
It's very, very good. Yeah.
I have a print copy of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, me too. Good book.
How many episodes are you up to, Ferg?
I think I'm going to be putting out 72 tonight.
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You release Wednesdays.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Or generally on Wednesdays if, you know, if
unless
schedules.
Something gets screwed up, right?
Yeah. Which we all run into those issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
I usually post them, what, like 8 o'clock or something right after I leave for work. So yeah.
Well, the idea was to get them earlier than that, but yeah, I'm hopefully the last week will kind of make me more not procrastinating. So.
Yeah. So where can everyone find your podcast?
If you go to 2600gamebygamepodcast.blogspot.com, it has all the links there. You can get direct downloads, Facebook, Twitter, all that crap. And the one-stop shopping, I guess.
Yeah. That'd be cool if there was like a network that...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Is that throwbacknetwork.net?
Yeah, he's part of the Throwback Network.
Yeah.
No chili hot dog for you.
No.
Cut off.
Well, again, Ferg, thanks for coming on. We definitely love having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And we did mention the last episode that Zerbinator was going to be a full-time host. Well, we kind of talked about it, Rob and I, and we were like, you know what? Do we really want to do that? So we're just going to go back to having weekly... No, I'm just kidding. As we talked about,
Zerb's finding out right now.
Yeah, you're not on the show anymore.
See ya.
And you never started. But no,
the
he's
Zerba
actually
later.
Oh man, no, he is going to be on the next episode. We're going to record probably. We're going to try next week. He's actually. I just got done moving into a new house. He is in the process right now.
He's still moving. I was going to ask.
Yeah,
you've moving. Both so of you. Moving. You're moving. He's moving. You know, I live in the land of mobile homes. We're the people that are supposed to be moving around, but you guys, man.
Yeah. So he thinks he's going to have his equipment ready and to record next week. So we haven't even been talking about what the next episode is going to be because we change our minds all the time, but we are going to do meatballs. I know that for sure. His first episode as a full-time host is going to be, was it 79, Rob? 1979 meatballs?
That sounds right. I think
yeah,
so.
I think you're right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that will be, we'll be recording that maybe next week or something like that. So how about you, Rob? Any closing words?
No, man. I'm glad that we went to school when we did. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see the kids today and my son's school has, they have signs up when I take my son to school that say no latex balloons, no, because kids have latex allergies, which I don't remember that being a thing when we were kids. They can't take, if they take peanuts or peanut butter, they have to sit in a special area of the cafeteria because there are kids with peanut allergy. I think when we were kids, those kids just died. I don't know. I don't remember having those kids around. I don't think we put up with that crap. We just, you put your peanut butter and jelly in a latex glove and you ate it. And if those kids couldn't hack it, then it was time for homeschooling for them. But, I mean, seriously, I just, for me, school was, and nothing's perfect, you know, I mean, there were bullies and there were this and there were that, but overall, I had a great time in school. And so when I think, when I see my kids going back, I just hope that they are having, as much fun as I had in making those, same memories that I have, you know, so, but I think the awesome 80s were awesome. And, so I wouldn't have it any other way. I liked it.
Hear, hear. I agree. Well, if you want to contact the show, you can send an email to feedback@throwbackreviews.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sugar Coated Chex and Strawberry and Cranberry Ritas.
And Lucky Doodads.
Yeah. But please, if you like what you're hearing, head over to iTunes, leave us a review if you would, and check us out on Facebook, Throwback Reviews Podcast. We have a Facebook page. Go like us over there. And I think that's about it.
Amazon the, link.
Yes. Berg, thanks. Plugs it all the time. I never do. If you shop on Amazon, you want to help us out a little bit, it will not cost you any more on your purchase, but you can go to throwbackreviews.com/Amazon. That's our affiliate link. And it just helps, you know, with the cost of hosting the servers and domain names and paying Rob and all that kind of stuff. So
it's, it goes to my ho-ho fund.
Yeah, it's ho-ho fund, and we're buying cranberry Ritas. But throwbackreviews.com/Amazon. You can use that link. Like I said, it doesn't cost you any more. Doesn't do anything different. Just tells Amazon that you came from us, and they give us a little piece of the pie. So we appreciate that. So with that being said, oh, and the intro music that you're hearing coming in right now, that is from Zurb himself. So We're looking forward to talking to him next week. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Thornton, what does that poem mean to you?
It means I don't take shit from no one. I'm gonna pass this test. I'm staying in school.